Getting some interesting responses through on this issue of the cars that reverse themselves into parallel parks. I don't know if there are too many vehicles in this country that have them, but I know that you can start buying them now with some of the new cars where you sidle up to a free parallel park. You then go just in front of it as if you're about to back in, and you can push a button on your car and it automatically drives back for you. And this is just one of the concepts of a driverless car, which of course is being discussed a fair bit at the moment. Now, insurance companies, I notice on this, have started researching what a threat driverless cars could be to their business if people crash when they're not actually in control of the vehicle. Now, I'm for some reason have an unusual fascination in what we're going to see in the future with these cars. So we thought we'd get an expert on by the name of Edwin Olson. He's an associate professor of computer science and engineering at the University of Michigan. Now, at the university, he and his colleagues are currently building what is known as a fake city, which is being used as a test bed for driverless cars to see whether they are likely to be on our roads anytime soon, or at least any time in our lifetime. I'm very pleased to say that Edwin Olson now joins me on the program. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Tell me how you ended up in the field of driverless cars.
Well, back in 2007, I was on MIT's DARPA Urban Challenge team, where we built a large Ford Land Rover LR3 and raced around an abandoned airport.
And it's got to the point now, and we are at the stage where, how far off would you say driverless cars are in terms of getting onto our public roads?
It really depends on what we mean by autonomous. There's a really large spectrum from GM Super Cruise concept, which is kind of keeps you in your lane but doesn't do a lot of more complicated behaviors, to the full autonomy where I throw my kids in the back seat and it takes them to school. And so if we're talking about where a car can do everything that a human can do, I think we're talking about a long time from now. Humans are just really good drivers. But I think what will happen is that we'll find some simpler applications where some forms of autonomy give us a lot of economic and social benefits, where the technical challenges aren't so insurmountable.
And I wonder if an example of that we've been talking about this morning has been the self-parking thing on cars, where you can push a button and the car actually parks for you.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's what I would call a low-hanging fruit. It doesn't take a lot of sensing complexity or computational complexity to be able to park a car, but it's something that a lot of people struggle with. But one of the things that we think about as we're thinking about autonomous driving as opposed to parking is that we're talking about much higher speeds and a much greater risk of injury to people around us. So, if the autonomous parking bumps into the curb, nothing bad really happens. But at 70 miles per hour, there's a lot less room for forgiveness.
Mm. So how many trials are actually going on at the moment?
So Google obviously gets the most attention for their autonomous car program, but I would characterize the field as Google being at the floating part of the tip of the iceberg. There's a huge amount of activity in virtually every OEM and Tier 1. Everybody is looking at autonomous driving in some capacity. A lot of those vendors aren't going very public with their plans, just because they come from a more conservative background, I think. But there's a huge amount going on.
And in terms of how hard it is to actually get a car that could drive itself on the road with passengers, I mean, are we talking about a car here that would have to have sensors all over it? I mean, before it's given the go-ahead, it would have to be absolutely almost 100% guaranteed that things will be okay if it was ever going to carry passengers.
Yeah, and that's the real challenge. Humans are really exceptionally good drivers, and that sort of implicitly sets the bar for autonomous cars. So in the States, humans drive at about one fatality for every 100 million miles driven, which is an amazing level of reliability.
Mm.
It's not good enough, and improving safety is one of the main motivations for autonomous cars in the first place. But achieving that level of reliability with an autonomous system is exceptionally difficult. And I think you're exactly right that one of the things the car is going to need is a broad array of sensors that let it really have a comprehensive view of what's going on around it. But it also needs all the intelligence to make sense of that data. And that sort of perception technology is something that is very difficult.
Mm. Now, of course, at your university in Michigan, there has been the development that is continuing of this fake city to be able to test driverless cars. Tell us about the city.
Yeah, so it's about a 33-acre facility. I think it's about $7 million. It's different than pretty much every test track that I've ever been to before, which tend to look like ovals. This is really a mock city. It's got traffic lights and stop signs and railroad crossings and building facades, basically all of the complications and clutter that make a city a difficult place to drive in. And one thing that I think is really innovative about M-City is that the test track itself is a robot. It has sensors and the ability to think and do computation and to change the timing of traffic signals and to affect the behavior of the car. And what this allows us to do is to have the car and the test track really interactively putting the car through its paces. One of the challenges you have when building an autonomous car is that 99% of all driving is really boring. It's stay in your lane, don't hit the car in front of you.
Mm.
And testing on real roadways is very slow. It's hard to know that your vehicle's really working properly. But in a facility like M-City, we can really put the vehicle in interesting, potentially dangerous situations in a controlled fashion, and we can do it over and over again, which allows us to be much more efficient with our testing.
And so are the vehicles doing what you expect them to do?
Well, there are always surprises. I think all of the people who are building autonomous cars are at the state where you can easily put together a 5-minute YouTube video and give the world and the press the impression that you've got the problem solved. But the devil's in the details, and in reaching this level of reliability that's necessary for it to be viable in the marketplace. So nobody has driven 100 million miles with an autonomous car. And handling all the types of cases that humans can handle, no car can do that yet.
Mm. So in terms of how far off we are seeing driverless cars on our roads, are we talking 20 years, 30 years, our lifetime?
Well, I certainly hope to take advantage of autonomous cars in my lifetime. I think what we'll find, though, is that it's not the completely, it does everything autonomous car. But I think we'll probably see vehicles that take over more and more responsibilities under controlled conditions on freeways and relatively simple environments. And over time, as our ability to collect and process sensor data improves on the vehicle, the car will be able to handle a greater array of challenges. But there is one really big problem that's not technological with autonomous cars. It's actually the human factors aspect. And what I mean is that right now an autonomous car, even our systems right now, can really drive hours, days at a time between screwing up too badly.
Mm.
But the problem is that then all of a sudden they need to say, human, take over. Right? I'm in a situation that I don't understand. And this is where the human factors aspect comes into play, that if your car every third Tuesday asks you to suddenly grab the steering wheel, you're not going to be ready to grab the steering wheel.
Mm.
And so that's something that we need to think about as a system of man plus machine. How do we build a system that's safe even when you've got these handoffs?
Mm. Absolutely fascinating stuff. I thank you so much for your time, Edwin.
Hey, thank you very much.
Edwin Olson there, an associate professor at the University of Michigan on driverless cars.